This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Hello. This is episode number 64. I don't know why. Like, I don't think there has been a single episode when I've, like, known out of the gate what episode it was. Super professional, obviously. Yeah, episode 64 with Emily Schramm. Emily is an entrepreneur, a business owner, a fitness expert. She was formerly on The Real World, which is a super hard show for me to say for some reason. I always feel like I'm slurring it whenever I say real world. Try saying that five times fast and see how it goes. She was on The Real World DC. And yeah, she's just an awesome human being. She was at the Outdoor Retailer Show, the Summer Market Show, when I was there a couple weeks back now, and we got the chance to sit down in one of the Outdoor Retailer podcast rooms, which is like, it's basically just a weird room upstairs with a loud fan. I think the sound quality came out pretty good still. I don't think it's an issue. I don't think you can hear it at all, but it's definitely a little weird, but we were able to get some Wi-Fi. We got a couple questions in for her, and it was an awesome interview. She's so much smarter than me, by the way. If you can't tell from our conversation, like, she like knows way more about health, wellness, fitness, all that stuff than I do, for sure. So I hope you guys enjoy it. It's definitely a little different. I'm trying to do a little more kind of versatile episodes, I guess, from now on, especially in the summer when we kind of have some time to, like, I don't know, just try new things. But before we get into the episode, this episode is sponsored by Sowatch Hemp. Sowatch Hemp is a CBD company. They make all kinds of different CBD products. My favorite, like I've mentioned 75 times on this show, is the salve, which is like the rub. They make it in like a peppermint, cayenne, flavor's the wrong, what do you call it when, I guess scent, right? I mean, you're not eating it, so, scent. Is it still scent if you're rubbing? I mean, yeah, I guess because the smell is the problem. Anyway, they make it in a peppermint cayenne and a lavender scent, and they're both awesome. I've been using it for my knees, for any aches and pains. I mean, after a workout, after a ride, after a run, which no more running anymore, thank God. It's just awesome. I mean, it's helped a ton with the swelling. It helps like with that immediate, like, kind of takes the edge off the pain. Similar to kind of like if you just took a couple ibuprofen and you kind of like, it doesn't really make it go away like completely, but it definitely makes it feel way better. That's kind of what the salve does, at least for me. I know it's different for everybody. They also make tinctures, like the little droppers that you see everywhere. They have a few different strengths of them. I mean, they're awesome. I've been using the 1500, which is the stronger one, but you can do that. They also make soft gels, which I've been really, really using a lot lately, and I've actually noticed a big difference in how I feel, in terms of, like, I think just my overall anxiety has gone down for situations and for issues in general. Like, I just feel better. I didn't start noticing a difference until probably about a week and a half out of taking them, but it's actually a big difference. I'm really, really enjoying those now. I put up a thing on Instagram today about it, actually. If you want any Sowatch product, as always, the information will be in the show notes, but you can go to sowatch.co and use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS to save 15% off your purchase. I know a few of you definitely have used the code already, and I really, really appreciate it. And the stuff is awesome. I mean, I'm really kind of just promoting what they do at this point. Like, they really, really make a great product. You will see a bunch of stuff coming for this this event we have this week, which is like the Cliff Slope style event up at Highland. So we'll be doing a bunch of interviews. Some of the guests will be announced today and tomorrow. So look forward to that. And on Thursday, hopefully on Thursday, as long as I can get intros and stuff done and get a teeth in, he can cut it. We'll have another episode coming out Thursday with Mountain Outfitters Breck. or Jaynox. I haven't really decided what order of operations those should go in. Yeah, without further ramblings, here is Emily Schramm.
All right, let's do this thing. Hi, how are you?
I'm so great. How are you?
Good. Who are you? What do you do?
I'm Emily Schramm. Yep. I am a personal trainer, nutritional therapy practitioner,
yep.
serial entrepreneur, lover of all things Colorado,
yeah,
and I am just in love with where my life has brought me. So yeah. Formerly on reality TV, which brought me to understanding I hated what I saw in the mirror and I couldn't run away from it anymore, especially when it's broadcasted to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Which kind of made me have some come to Jesus moments of saying, well, you can run away your whole life or you can do something about it. And that empowerment that I found through the process of learning about my body and strength training and nutrition and all the things that come with transformation, internally, externally, whatever it might be, completely radically shifted my life and my career.
Yeah.
And here I am.
That's awesome. That's like a very like roundabout way to get to the Outdoor Retailer Show doing a podcast. Like, it's like, that's awesome. That's actually one of our questions was like, was she on The Real World in DC? So like, I guess we can start there. Like, what was that like? How did you get on there? How do you get picked for something like that?
I was working at Starbucks and just having a really grumpy morning and happened to talk to a casting director serving him a venti caramel macchiato. And I remember being very unhappy with my life at the time and kind of going through the motions. I was pre-accepted into vet school, thought I was going to be a vet since I was 3 years old. And when I realized that that no longer was what I wanted to do, but didn't know or see an ends to how to get out of that, it was a really intense place to be. And I think all of us have experienced that in some way or another of our career no longer matches with what we want and we're afraid to pivot. And so I feel like it was just the best blessing the universe could have given me. I was like, well, I don't even watch reality TV, but if you say you want me on it, I'll do it. I don't know what else to do. I don't want to be in school and I don't want to be doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so it became just a complete internal experiment. I mean, you're with people and you're just learning about yourself. It's a pressure cooker. So I felt like I grew in in 3 months, I grew 6 years. You know, it was really incredible for me to go through that stuff that I had to go through on the show that I never would have put myself in those situations. And it just allowed me, you know, in hindsight, just me showing up and being me and not having any expectations and just, you know, living life in a house of strangers, was able to really like attract this type of person that hasn't seen themselves on TV before. And that has become my tribe and my community, which has allowed me to own 5 businesses.
That's crazy. That's such a, like, I guess people don't get it. Like, people think that these reality TV shows are like, they're not the real people, but I guess you kind of have to be who you are. Like, it comes out one way or the other, right?
Yeah, it does. There's a cutoff point at a month is what they say is the cutoff where you can no longer pretend to be somebody else that you aren't, really? Especially when cameras are on you 24/7. So outside of some sociopaths with reality TV, which do exist, there really is a line that's drawn after that 1 month point where you just are you and you can't run away from that.
Huh. That's crazy. So fast forward to now, what's changed since then?
Everything. Okay. It's been about 10 years since that show. Yeah. So for me, it was, okay, well, I have a good head on my shoulders. I love working. I've worked since I was 12 or 13. I've always had lots of jobs and I've always loved to be creative. Mm-hmm. And I never felt like a job matched with that. And so starting off as, okay, I just transformed my body and I love this empowerment that I feel with learning about food and learning about fitness. I cannot believe I'm going to do this, but I guess I'll be a personal trainer. And so it started off as training, which turned in very quickly to I'm saying the same thing over and over. I'm going to do this online. And so launching an online business really early on, about 8 years ago, finding kind of my demographic and my niche of teaching people about their body and in a way that's not body shaming or it has to be super intense. It's just what works for you. And becoming somebody that really loved that space of teaching. And so everything that I've done up to this point, including the other 4 businesses, are all tools or products or a facility that teaches people about their body in some way.
Yeah. So how does that go then? Like, so what do you tell people, I guess? Because you're obviously, you're in good shape, right? Like, you care about that kind of stuff. How do you talk to someone who doesn't do that? Like, that's not a thing that they do at the moment. Like, how do you motivate someone who's just like, I don't want to work out. Yeah. I don't want to do this. Like, how do you, like, what part do you play in that?
Well, we are very preventative lacking, right? So we react, okay. We don't prevent. And so okay. For me, the way to really connect with somebody and trying to get them motivated, you're going to hit your head against the wall 1,000 times.
Okay.
And you cannot force somebody to change if they're intrinsically not motivated to. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned the hard way, because super optimistic, high energy, always feeling like I could help somebody change their life when they came with me into those one-on-one sessions, and quickly realizing I had zero impact on their life unless they were willing to make the hardest choices day to day. So what I have found, and I do this a lot with corporate wellness and my lunch and learns and talks in Denver and also across the country, it is better to understand how it's relevant to you in order for it to become a little bit preventative and less reactive. So for example, if you are starting to notice my energy is really shit throughout the day, or I'm waking up in the middle of the night really hot and I start to realize, oh, that's not normal. That might be something that my body's trying to tell me. You can understand, well, what can I do in my day-to-day life that might make that better? And so we can start to ask questions personal to the client and to the person that's asking. Like, this isn't about just looking better and feeling better in these blanket generic statements that I really hate about my industry. It's about understanding how you can, as a human, show up better in your day-to-day world, whether as an entrepreneur, as a creative entrepreneur, as somebody that has to interview people, as someone that has to be on quite a bit. How can I be better? How can I be more productive? How can I actually feel like this isn't so heavy and so hard all the time? And we live in a life kind of in a bubble of brain fog and just not feeling our best. And that all comes down to the foods we eat and the way we, basically the way that we nourish ourselves. And that can mean lots of different things. But yeah. I think that's kind of how I've been able to tap into that for people.
You say your industry, like, what are you looking at? Like, as your industry, I guess.
Well, it depends, I guess, which business we're talking about. So,
for this particular one.
Yeah, so health and wellness as a whole. But what's really amazing with my backpack company, so I have a backpack company that turns into a weight training bag.
Okay.
So it's a fitness bag, right? So we can use it as we want to work out, using water as weight. You can travel wherever you want, fill it up with water in the ocean, in the hotel bathtub, take off the straps, use it as a fitness tool. But okay. Also when the reservoirs are empty, it's a really easy way to just carry empty weight and use it as your backpack. So laptop sleeve, et cetera. So it's this really fun, you know, medley of I got into it because I wanted to learn how to work out with weights when I traveled.
Okay.
But all my programs online said dumbbells only. So you don't have time to work out, you travel a lot, or you just don't want to find a gym because you hate being at a gym. Then what can we do to help you get stronger? Because there is a point where body weight no longer works. And in order for, you know, males or females to truly tap into what they can do physically, there has to be some sort of weight training involved. And so it was so fun because I got into it because of health and wellness and fitness, and then turned into this, wow, I am now a part of the outdoor industry. And I am obsessed with this because this is the industry that I've been in. I'm an avid snowboarder and hiker, and I love Colorado. That's why I moved here. And I never really saw myself in that industry, but to bridge the gap with this is in alignment, and it's a lifestyle tool, and it's a way to kind of give people experiences when they travel, but also when they're at home. It just made a lot of sense. So I guess it kind of depends on which way we want to go.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot to it, right? So I guess we should talk about the industry. Like, we're at the Outdoor Retailer Show, right? So that's the one we should probably focus on. How are you involved in this industry? I mean, I know you said you make the backpack that you can use as a weight trainer, but like, what else do you do in the outdoor industry?
Well, specifically, honestly, it's just having a voice with the other women that are here. And I think I have been so lucky to connect with other women in this industry in Denver because we're at like a prime location.
Great spot, yeah.
Whether it's collaborations at the gym, whether it's Denver Startup Week and kind of bringing awareness to other brands that are doing really great stuff for females. There's just lots of fun pop-up things that come up now that I have a brick and mortar, which I didn't always have, right?
Awesome.
It was all online. So now that I have a location, it's made life a lot easier.
How recent is that?
9 months.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So 9 months ago, we launched, I launched Platform Strength. So it's a strength training gym in Rhino, Denver. and it's kind of my flagship where all the backpacks and tees and everything comes awesome. Together.
How's it been? Like, how's it like amazing. Having your own space? Like, that's like
incredible. You know, it's fun because I'm just curious. I'm a curious human, and I love to teach what I learn. And so for me, it's never been in my cards intentionally to be an entrepreneur or be a business owner. Mm. I think it's mostly all for ego when people say that they're an entrepreneur, and it gets really old really fast. But I love to create things that help people with their day-to-day life. And I've only been able to do that until 9 months ago online. And that has been something that... That's all I had. So I made it work. And to feel the difference and the shift and the business lessons that I'm learning when now they come to you instead of you having to come to them, it is pretty incredible because you start to see the trends that are happening every year of we need more experience and we need more direct to consumer than we need actual like quick buy grab and go products. And so to create an experience for somebody that I've created myself, is extremely powerful.
It's personal too. Like it's like you, it's part of you.
I manifested that shit so hard.
That's awesome. That's gotta be crazy. Like having your own space and like being able to do that kind of thing. Did it start because of the social media thing? Did it start because of using the internet? I mean, how have you leveraged that?
Well, it's interesting because I have always just shown up in the world the way that I know how, and that's just being completely 100% me. So what is really powerful, I think, for anybody in this industry and anybody that's working with influencers or is an influencer, like stop calling yourself a brand because then you get put into a box.
That's one of my questions for you, actually. Yeah.
You can't get out of that box very easily.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you see yourself as a business, but what if you change? What if you want to grow? What if you want to evolve?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you are, it's like the split personality that I talk about. I just wrote a newsletter on this. Like we have the best intentions and we're excited and we're passionate, but as soon as what we are posting no longer matches with who we are, that is a very horrible feeling, right? Yeah. And I think that it goes across all brands and all industries that you have to just be you. And if you're not, that'll be very, very obvious in some capacity, whether it's people will see right through you or you'll start feeling really shitty about yourself pretty quickly. So I think that for me, it's just saying, if I can just show up and be me and use this as a way for me to express what I love to do and think about, and some of it's really hippie, some of it's really meathead, some of it's just pure excitement because a new product just launched and I'm so fucking stoked about it.
Yeah.
It's just authentically my voice with no plan and no agenda. It's been really amazing to watch that organically grow. And despite numbers, the people that have been on board since the beginning, I mean, it's just incredible. I just met one downstairs hugging me like, I'm in your Facebook group and I've done your challenge and I supported your Kickstarter. And it's this tribe of people that I am so blessed to have. And it only came because I just always say what's on my heart and what's on my mind. And if I don't do that, it dilutes me as a whole, you know?
That's really interesting you say that because like we had, I'm not going to throw people under the bus, but like we've had other influencers on and they're like, I'm a brand, you know, like that's what I am right now. And I get it. Like, that's kind of how you make your paycheck. But I just talked to Dave Emerald, who was formerly the director of marketing at Snowbird. And he was like, the best way to do it is to just be your fucking self. Like, you just have to be yourself. Like, that's the way to.
He so knows
it's
up.
Good to hear that you're saying that.
Yeah.
What do you find a problem with that, though? Because that's like the thing that I kind of deal with a little bit is like you're answering all these messages, right? You're seeing all this interaction and it's like, people don't think that you're seeing it, but you still are interacting.
Well, that was what was so addictive about being a part of a product company. So when I launched Evolve Motion, the MPAC backpack turn weight training bag, I had no products except for something that was my face or my body being sold, right? So strength programs, let me help you with your nutrition. Let me teach you about gut health. Like it's still all me.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. I don't think that that's a smart long-term goal either. So it's like, okay, well, this is a void. And I don't think I really knew it at a conscious level, but very subconsciously being like, holy shit, I just created a product that no longer is me having to sell it. And now I can build a team to create this as a brand because it is a product and it's not me as a brand. It's a product that I created that I'm in love with and I'll be the biggest influencer for it almost. And I'll tell, you know, and I'm way more of a, CEO right now than I will eventually be, because, yeah. But that's the end goal with anything that I've created. It's I can create this to live without me because it's that good. And if you don't do that, then you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
That's the hard thing is like you kind of have to like the business has to be the business, right? You do it because it's something you believe in, but the business has to run itself. Mm-hmm. You can't be the one like burning both ends of the candle,
and you
right?
will for, I mean.
You have to for a little bit. Yeah. You have to hustle. Like that's part of any entrepreneurial
thing. It's been a grind.
Right. Yeah. That's, I agree too. And I think that's like, the whole being an entrepreneur thing is kind of like getting a little watered down with how much you see it on social media. And it's just like, are we though? Like,
what
do we have to talk?
Really
if you
mean?
Really were you going to be talking about it this much? Probably not. You know? Like, it's just, it's a weird thing. So you just spoke on a panel downstairs mm-hmm. a little while ago. Or maybe it was upstairs. I'm not sure. How was it? What did you guys talk about?
It was great. Yeah. We talked, at Beyond Clothing, which they're amazing. I think it was really the ultimate line was like, how are brands effing it up with influencers?
Yeah.
So in this world of influencer marketing and affiliates, how have I personally as an influencer, but also as a business owner, seen things not match, and what do I hate about it? And it was really great. I had a lot to say about that.
So how are they fucking it up? Like, I mean, really, like that's like, as someone that's been in the retail side of it for a long time, and you asked me about the show on the elevator up, and it's like, I don't think it's changed. I don't think it's changed at all, with the exception of like everybody is an influencer now. What can people do better?
Well, I think it is always quality over quantity, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. So the best partnerships that I've had allowed me to make terms with what I wanted to produce or what I wanted to create with them. It was a co-creation process. It wasn't, you just do this, check off the box. And I never do one-offs because that is such a short-sighted way of thinking.
Okay.
And so when you're looking at somebody's social media campaign or social media in general, you don't see the online tribe that they have, their Facebook group, the people that they interact with every day, the gym that you would be set up in. You don't see the full picture unless you ask the questions and unless you really dig in. And so it's just demanding depth from the brand of do not just get sucked into this cycle of affiliate marketing and clickbait funnels of mass marketing as many as I can and as quick as I can. It's just going to become diluted and irrelevant because so many people are doing it and nobody really cares anymore. So for me, it's saying I want, as a business owner, I want my brands to be in the hands of a few select badass people that I can do a lot with this year.
Yeah.
And then the people that are willing to do free product and collaborations, do it as much as you can, but know that we can't spread ourselves all across the board. There's going to have to be two ways to do it.
Yeah. You got to kind of spread your eggs where it really need to go. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's interesting because like you see all these brands now that are like coming out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden they have like 50,000 Instagram followers, but like 100 people like their posts. That's like, you see that every day now. I don't know. How did you build a social media presence, I guess?
I've worked my ass off for 9 years.
I guess that's the answer, right? Like that's, but I think people need to hear that because there's a lot of brands that I know listen to this show, and there's a lot of brands in general that are just like, they're just trying to kind of take the easy way out. What do you do? I mean, work your ass off, right? Like that's kind of like a blanket statement. Like mm-hmm. it's like a, I know what it means, right? You're up fucking late, like, and you do shit that you don't want to do.
Not necessarily. It just means I said no to things that were quick fixes, and I said yes to things that I was really excited about. And I've done that for 9 years. I refused to say yes to things that were short-sighted and didn't feel good. And too many people are doing that because it'll give them a bump in their followers, or it will give them XYZ, and it's completely back to what we already said. It's who are you and who do you want to work with and who do you believe in? And they might not be able to work with you right away, but it's so powerful. When I said no to contracts, whether they're 5 figures, 4 figures, 6 figures, because I knew that it wasn't in alignment with who I was, I said yes to maybe the most loyal 1,000 followers I could have ever said yes to. So you don't see it, what you're creating and what you're building. But the big picture is I would dilute myself if I said yes to the things that weren't in alignment. And so I only say yes to those things.
Hmm. Yeah. I think that's about as good as it gets. So switching gears a little bit,
as a business owner, how do you feel the health of the industry is overall? Like, I mean, because it's changing, right? I know I said the show hasn't changed. It's because it fucking hasn't. It's just a bunch of signs and a bunch of people that really want their stuff to work. But how do you feel the retail industry is right now, I guess?
Well, we're booming as a health and wellness industry, that's for sure. Okay. So in general, it's great. People are waking up and noticing, hey, I don't feel 100% me, and I could feel better. So that's really great. I think that that's the most exciting thing as a trainer, is when you see somebody doing a lot of work for years. And I mean, personal training hasn't been around all that long when you think about it.
Yeah.
We have some OGs that have been maybe training in the 80s, yeah. But for the most part, the boom of personal training was in the last 20 years. And so when you look at digital content, online content, and being more accessible with that, it's incredible. It's approachable. And so I just see it as, well, the more visible it is to everybody, the more normal it will be to the people that find me. So I think it's just a really cool place to be in. Outdoor industry, travel industry, working out industry, strength training industry. I mean, I have zero complaints. I think for me, it's just like, wow, I saw a hole in the industry in each and every business. And that shows, because it's growing and thriving, and I'm learning along right with it.
Yeah, and you kind of like, you saw a reason to be there, so you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, let's get into some Instagram questions here.
Okay, do we have any?
I think so. All right, so first question is from CB Cruiser. How do you stay so active in all areas of life and not crash so hard? Which I think is a really good question.
It's a fantastic question. So I've crashed many times, which is why I learned very quickly how to avoid it, because crashing sucks. And, you know, it's one of those things where my crash was, I don't want to wake up. I want to quit my job. I had just launched my Kickstarter, so my second business, while I was still running the nutrition and online business full time and trying to juggle it all with product companies and manufacturing. And it just was a lot all at once. And then on top of that, I was over exercising, and also I went to Patagonia and got a bacterial infection. So it was like bam, 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 bam. And so whether I would have known this before that or not, I don't think I ever would have listened, because we avoid symptoms when we're in this hustle state. We want to see success, and that's all we see. And everything else, this is like a part of it, right? We just have to grind. This is what we do. We stay up late, we wake up early, and we just go. And that was my mentality until I felt like complete shit. And so it was saying, okay, well, there's got to be a better way. And that was with two businesses. So I was like, I got to learn this fast if I plan on doing these ideas. Yeah. I mean, I always have five more business ideas ready to go. And so I was like, how do I make this work long term? And it all, as silly as it is, it's all back to, if I do not feel good within 8 minutes of a workout, I'm out. I'm not going to push through it. If I feel like complete dog shit and I'm pushing through, I will only be preventing my creativity and my energy the next day. And so the days that I'm the most fatigued and the most drained, if I wake up and I'm like, God, I feel terrible. It's like I looked at the day before. I'm like, wow, I really pushed through shit that I shouldn't have. And I really am making it hard for me to function. And so I look at my food. I probably underate. I probably didn't hit my protein. And then when it comes to nutrition, because that's who I am, I'm a huge believer in the high-fat diet, because I no longer depend on carbs as energy. I eat carbs, but I think that was a huge shift for me, as I crashed and burned very quickly when all you're eating is carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So it's taking those way out and way toned down and eating fat, because fat can sustain you for 6-7 hours. So those mornings that I skipped breakfast because I forgot, because I had so much work to do and a podcast and emails, it was like, oh my God, I'm good. I don't have this crash that I would have had I depended on glucose as my fuel source. So I'm a huge believer in eating high fat. It's what my MFIT challenge and online challenge is all about, is teaching people how to do that. And then it's also a lot of supplements. I take, like, you know, make sure you take your multi. Yeah. Turmeric and fish oil and magnesium. Without them, I mean, I've had 8 concussions, so I'm very sensitive. God. I'm very sensitive to changes. But that sensitivity has allowed me to figure out exactly when I need to slow down and when I can rev it up. And sometimes you have to push through it, right? There's days where you're like, oh my God, I'm not in the place, but I got to do this. And you do it, but I immediately take care of myself the next day a little extra for it.
So kind of piggybacking off of that, do you think, so this keto diet lately is like blowing up in the last like 6 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. Like it's been crazy. Do you think it's for everyone? Because that's okay, cool.
No. All right. I think keto can be very therapeutic for a month at a time. If you have cancer, if you have Alzheimer's, if you have a serious condition, ketogenic diets are incredibly life-changing.
Okay.
Maybe you just had a concussion or a TBI and you need to get your brain to be deflamed. That makes sense. Everything else doesn't make sense to me. Men do much better with it than women. And I don't want to, if someone's listening and keto has changed your life, I don't want to take that from you. But at some point, especially with female hormones, more so than male hormones, there has to be some carbohydrate to sustain stress and activity. And so I start people on a lower carb diet, but it is not keto. So the difference between high fat and keto are very big. So high fat diets don't necessarily mean keto. And low carb diets don't necessarily mean keto, if that makes sense. So keto is ketogenic, meaning your body is making ketones. And you naturally do when you wake up because you fasted for a long time. So we have some ketones no matter who you are. But it's pretty low carbohydrate. I'm talking like 20 grams of carbohydrates a full day,
super low,
including vegetables, is like true ketogenic. So you are limiting carrots and you're eliminating
so much
foods.
Good shit.
It just pisses me off really hard. So I love it. I think it's good for everyone to try to be your own guinea pig. And I definitely tried it. I mean, I've tried everything because I wanted to know firsthand, how did I feel? How did I function? And for me personally, it is just like, oh my God, I did a lot of adrenal damage because of it. So I try to teach people, yes, it's good to be high fat, but don't think that you have to see success on keto. You can still have some carbs and rice and sweet potatoes and really good vegetables and still see equal results.
I think especially if you're working out really hard, I think that's one of the things that like, I tried it for a little bit and I like did not go well, especially like doing long bike rides. It's like, fucking beat at the end of it. Like even after like a week or two of doing it, you're just like, I just don't like, I need that because like you're pushing really, really hard. And I mean, you can do it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's.
Yeah. Well, you think of it. I don't know how nerdy you want me to get, but
get as nerdy as you want to get. It's for you, not for me.
Okay. If you're interested in it.
Yeah, I totally am.
Aerobic and anaerobic.
Okay.
Right. Aerobic can use fat as fuel. So there's lots of studies only done on men, not on women, I will say, that you can become a endurance athlete completely fat adapted.
Okay.
So very low carb. It just takes a full month to get there.
Okay.
It's a very agonizing month in your training.
Sounds miserable.
It is, but you can get there and you can actually see improvements because you have lower oxidative stress, you have lower inflammation, you're recovering faster, and then you're not chugging goos on your ride.
Yeah.
But if you're doing something like mountain biking, there's times you're going up hills. I mean, holy shit. The lactic acid, the anaerobic activity, it's very similar to sprinting. You are sprinting, and that is anaerobic. And anaerobic, no matter what you say, requires glucose, glycogen.
Yeah.
And that is how science works. And so if that's not available, what does that mean? And men tend to have enough glycogen in their muscles and blah, 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 blah. But women, it just completely stresses their body out, and their cortisol goes through the roof.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of information for me to take in. My head's like,
I'm sorry, listeners.
No. That's okay. It's actually really good information because like most people don't get, they get like, oh, I'm doing keto. Oh, I'm doing this. And actually one of the questions is about a different diet that we'll ask in a minute. But like it's so much new information that people don't fully get to hear any explanation for it. And they also think that like, oh, my friend did really well with it. It has to work for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that people are like, because like you talked about, like most of what I do is mountain biking. So like it's short, punchy distances where like you need to get out of the saddle and you fucking hammer for a little bit and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have the energy to do that shit. Mm-mm. If you're like, it's not the same thing. So.
Yeah. And it's also not fun. I mean, I fucking love rice. Like I don't want to cut rice. It's just something that I love. Yeah. Like I want to go to Chipotle and get rice. And when I pass it, I get really sad. Like no amount of extra guac will make up for that. So it's about, you know, every diet can work. There's high fat diets and there's low fat diets. Right.
Yep.
And studies have shown, this is just published, there's no difference in results. It is all about adherence and consistency. And so for me, if I'm on a low fat diet, I am going to crash and burn. I'm going to be irritable and grumpy, and I'm not going to be able to do my job very well because I just know how I feel when I eat more fat. And so I believe in a high fat diet because I can sustain that. And so what can you do more than 1 month? What can you do for 6 months? And if you can't see yourself cutting carbs for 6 months, then don't do it. Find something else that works for you.
Yeah, making like a lifestyle change instead of a quick and dump diet.
Which we're all guilty of doing. I mean, I've
done
it
all the fucking time.
I've done all the diets.
I'm such a quitter when it comes to diet. Like, if I see a burrito that I want, I'm like, fucking sold. Like, I'm done with this diet. This diet's over, you know? Like, it happens.
I gotta get you on my MFIT challenge. One of the things that I talk about a lot, because it's like, well, what about cheat days? Or what about, you know, how often is it 80-20? And it all is your personality, right? Yeah. So if I am, if I know I'm going to see a burrito and I'm going to eat it, then I know that I need to have at least 2 days where I can eat whatever I want. And if I have limitations where I can't eat anything, it's like, I'm going to go crazy and I'm just going to eat all the burritos. So for me, I'm a rebel. If somebody gives me a rule, I will do exactly the opposite. Right? Don't tell me what to do. I can figure this out. Yeah. But then it really backfires. Yeah. So it's saying, okay, well, what's your personality type? How can we make sure that you're going to stick with this? And if it's, some people are like, yeah, I do the 80-20 and it works. For me, I'm like, no, I know that if I have any of that near me, I will eat all of it. Yeah. Right? So there's lots of cool ways you can learn about your own personality type.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I definitely fit in that cat. If it's there, I'm fucking eating it. I'm like such a like, I deserve this. Like, I've been working really hard. I deserve to eat this ice cream or whatever the fuck it is. Like, it's so I should try whatever. I'm always willing to try these things, and I'll commit to them for a certain amount of time, because then that's the new challenge, right? That's like, somebody's telling me I can't do this thing, I'm fucking going to try to do it.
I'm doing it.
You have to. Yeah.
Totally.
Next question is anonymous, and they want to know, have you ever tried the carnivore diet? And if so, what did you think?
Eat your veggies.
Okay.
I think it's very crazy. There's such a phenomenon that happens with people with inflammation and really effed up immune systems. Yeah. And that's when the carnivore diet works. It's a very small percentage, and it's because their body is responding to everything that they put in it. And I'm not going to lie, I would rather the carnivore than the vegan. Actually, I don't know. That's a tough one, because vegetables are life. Vegetables are life, and you are looking at prebiotics, you're looking at your nature's multivitamin, you're looking at fiber, you're looking at so much when it comes to vegetables. And if I could do one thing for everybody listening, it's eating one more cup of veggies a day. If you could do it, you will feel better. You're going to sleep better, and you're going to handle stress in a better way, like, period. So vegetables, to me, I love protein. I really care about my meats, grass-fed, where's it from? I buy a quarter of a cow. Yeah. In Colorado, but I also know that you cannot have just meat and no veggies, because that's when we start to see issues with kidneys and all the things that happen. So I'm fascinated by it. I just don't see how it works. I just don't think long term it's a good play.
If you had to do one or the other, what would you do? You brought the question up, not me. So like,
I can't live without vegetables. I know how shitty I feel.
That, yeah.
I would have to do, and I really am a plant-based meat eater.
Yeah.
You know, it's like plant-based is overused, because we all should be eating more plants, period. But I will not eat processed plants. I will not eat foods that are plants disguised as meat. And I'm just in general a big advocate of eat normal food, eat real food straight from the earth.
That's a good answer. I think that's, it's like, I couldn't pick either. And I don't think I'd ever want to pick. Let's do one more question, and then we'll get you out of here. What's that?
You made me pick.
Yeah, no, it's true. I would never actually do it. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, like I don't think it's smart. It's like, there are all these options, right?
Mm-hmm. I went vegetarian as well. I tried that, and it was,
how'd it go?
Horrible.
Okay.
I was so anemic that I couldn't stand up without getting dizzy. I was covered in bruises.
Kind of, right?
It's very. I mean, your body, and I'll just do one rant about cholesterol. Your body needs dietary cholesterol. It does not impact your food, your blood cholesterol. And it's really incredible what happens, because cholesterol makes your hormones. And so when it comes to thinking clearly and memory and even sex drive, it's all cholesterol.
Yeah.
You got to eat it. Eat your yolks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. It really is. All right. Let me get this thing up. All right. This is another anonymous one. So I'm out of shape, not super active. How do I start?
Well, I think it's important to know that the hardest day is day one and day two and maybe day three. But what I always say, and I learned this from James Clear, who's incredible about habits. So go look up his book. It's all about changing habits and finally starting something. We get so in our head about, oh, I got to go to the gym. I got to go to the gym. I got to go to the gym. And it becomes this massive mountain that we are making way bigger than it actually is. And it is saying, okay, well, if I'm going to move for 10 minutes, that's a win. If I'm going to move for 8 minutes, that's a win because I tried it and it didn't work and I'm going to go back home. But it's, I know that I can just get my foot in the door and not make this as big of a deal as it is. And as soon as that day one happens, then it's the motto that I learned from James, never miss twice. Mm. You don't have to go ham. You don't have to go crazy. You're not supposed to be super sore. You're not supposed to be suffering through this workout. When you leave, you should feel like I am proud of myself. And so I just think all of us deserve to make ourselves proud. We live life and we always are struggling to be better and see more success and make more money. And it's like, well, are you making yourself proud? Because none of those things we're going to reach anytime soon, right? With my business, with my podcast, with my career. There's some big goals that I got. I got a while before I'm on the cover of Forbes. So what am I going to do to say like, okay, well, if I'm going to have all of this stuff that I'm working for, I need to just simply say, I want to make myself proud today. And that means doing something slightly uncomfortable, not too uncomfortable. We're looking at 5 to 10% uncomfortable. If it's too much, you're not going. You're not going to show up. It's just enough that it's like, okay, I just did that and I made myself proud. And if I miss it the next day, just don't miss it twice.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so hard to start. It's really, truly the hardest thing, I think, is just getting, it's just going and doing something.
Well, it's also like, don't feel because your friend loves SoulCycle doesn't mean you have to. Because your friend loves mountain biking doesn't mean you have to. There's a million ways to work out. And I think the best way is, I will always say this, it's strength training, what it does for your body, but what it does for your mind in some capacity. I have not met somebody and convinced them to strength train that they didn't fall in love with it in some way and incorporate it in their life, because you're seeing immediate results, right? Like you're, oh my God, that's my tricep. Like look at my tricep right now. Like I'm toned. Like, oh my God, I can see results from all this weight I'm moving. But more importantly, I'm taking that ability, whether it's you climbing your mountain biking mountain or me deadlifting 300 pounds. It's like, I can do anything because I just decided to show up even though I didn't want to. And I picked it up and holy shit, the way that's going to tie into my interviews and my podcast and the way I show up for business, to think that they're unrelated is ludicrous. So
they're totally related. Like if I just did this part of it and I didn't get to so I did one with somebody on Monday, but we rode beforehand and it was like, that's fucking way better to do it that way. Like, and I, even this, like, it's like, I got to hang out with everybody on the show floor before, like, we get to talk. So it's like, you put yourself in a different mindset, I think. Yeah. So it's a good way to do it. Well, thank you for doing this.
Of course.
Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find your podcast? Because it is awesome. I haven't listened yet, but I'm going to because I need to and I need to learn about this challenge. So
yeah,
tell me about it. Where can people find you?
So podcast listeners, it's called Meathead Hippie. Speaking of the carnivore diet, meathead meaning like I really just love bicep curls and deadlifts. So more of that than the I eat meat all the time.
Yeah,
so
raw steaks.
Yeah. So it's a lot about understanding how to be stronger and more athletic, but also most of it recently has been just straight hippie. Like, how can we help our stress levels and how can we sleep better and how can we just be better humans? And so good conversations that I think you guys will enjoy. And then everything else can be found on emilyschramm.com. So my last name, S-C-H-R-O-M-M, and that's my Instagram as well. And you can kind of see the things I got going on, whether it's my backpack or my gym in Denver. Or my tea line. Lots of fun stuff going on.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing this. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. That was episode number 64 with Emily Schramm. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I know I did. She's an awesome person. You can follow her on Instagram at Emily Schramm. Schramm is spelled S-C-H-R-O-M-M. She's got an awesome Instagram, ton of great stuff going on. You could also follow her EbFit Challenge, Evolved Motion, Body Awareness Project, Platform Strength, Herbal Element. I mean, she kills it. She's a true entrepreneur in the sense of the word and an awesome person, and I'm happy that we got the chance to do this. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes if you get the time. It helps the show a ton. Even if you're listening on Spotify, which it seems like most people are listening on Spotify or whatever other medium, but I guess iTunes is, it's, I get it. It's kind of a hard, It's kind of an annoying app to use, I guess. I find it annoying too, but it is what it is. If you could leave a review on there, I'd really appreciate it. And tell a friend about the show so we can keep growing this thing. And we'll talk to you guys on Thursday or maybe next Tuesday. Who knows? Thanks. Bye.